Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Kelly and Susan, it's very dark at your house. I do think I see Kelly there. Just going to jump in, I guess. I was on a camping fishing trip about, it was like 3 weeks ago with some good buddies. We were just in this glorious, amazing spot that my buddy found outside of Creed, a bit off the Rio Grande River. Each morning I'd wake up, and much to the amusement of my fellow campers, I would find this beautiful rock where the sun came up like around 6:30 and meditate on that rock and get that first hint of sun. Each day was really spectacular in its own right. It just an amazing phenomenon to really see the earth turn as you sit there quietly. But one day, the brush and the cacti that were all around me were just amazingly thick with dew. And the sunlight hit on so many leaves with amazing reflections and refractions. Actually, when one looked at the field, it was really hard to determine what one was looking at. It was really its own reality that morning. And it made me think I'm going to try to share, this should be fun. I'm going to try to share a PowerPoint. It might work. Is that, what are you seeing? If I do this, do you still see the PowerPoint? Okay, good, thanks. So it made me think of a haiku that has stuck with me for many, many years. But Esau said, this dewdrop world is a dewdrop world. And yet, and I really do see life as a dewdrop. You know, it's beautiful. It reflects so much. It comes miraculously into being. It disappears in moments that it's really hard to define. It's there, just like that morning dew that the day I told you about. And when I looked away and came back to it, the dew was gone. But as Esau says, and yet. So for those of you that were at a talk, whatever, a Zen thread deal that I gave a few months ago, I spoke about a friend of mine. This is her. It's Teresa. And her memorial's tomorrow. There'll be a bunch of awkward family and friends having no idea what to really say to each other. Norm MacDonald, one of my comic heroes, recently died, and he talked about an uncle who was battling cancer. And he said, you know, when you die, the cancer dies too. I'd call that a draw. Well, we found out that he wasn't talking about his uncle. He was talking about himself. But from my heart today with Teresa, it really doesn't feel like a draw. This is a photo of our great friends, Ken and Lori. We were absolutely the weirdest combination. They were right-wing Southern folks. We met and became fast friends within Chattanooga when we lived there 18 years ago. Just to give you an idea how different we were, he was a sales rep for Glock handguns, and Lori sold everything a police department would ever need, from stun guns to batons to shields. And somehow we loved each other. We laughed so hard. We had a love of wine. We loved the beach. We loved our families and enjoying the moment. Tragically, about 5 years ago, Ken came down with brain cancer. He beat it for a while. It relapsed and took him overnight almost. I opened up Facebook this past Monday to find out that Lori, who had hepatitis, had some complications, went into the hospital and died within 2 hours. If you would have met us 6 years ago, we would have all said that we'd be meeting for annual vacations for the next 20 years easy. And now that's all gone. The woman on the right is my aunt, Aunt Lou, my dad's sister. This photo is from her 95th birthday. She celebrated about 2 weeks ago. We saw this photo on Facebook, you know, and Sue and I both commented about how strong she looked, especially compared to my mom, who's failing as well. And yet it all unraveled. In the past 2 weeks, she's had some big problems, and she's now in hospice. And I know this is, sounds like a downer talk, but it really isn't. I could spend just as easily hours talking about how much Teresa meant to me. Well, she always had an upbeat countenance, how much she loved her family. Could talk to you about her idiotic views on COVID, the way she always found me funny, how in some strange way I always made her laugh. And also, believe it or not, I was the one that led her to Christ. Strange world. I could talk about the wonderful vacations Ken and Lori and I, Sue and I had, how much we laughed, how we woke up each day on vacation and ran and biked and fished and drank and laughed and gave each other incredible grief about what we believed. I could tell you how much my aunt means to me, how she always thought her middle son and I were just plain idiots. She would laugh at our off-color humor and then be embarrassed. She did, you know. She found us funny, but she realized we were not what may be appropriate. But she would always go out of her way to take care of their other brother, my dad's and hers other brother, George, who had mental and physical disabilities. And it was always sweet to see how much she loved my dad. So it really is a Drew Dopp world. It's a Drew Dopp world. And yet. So I do want to stop sharing my screen 1 second so I can figure this out. Anybody, how do I stop sharing my screen? Oh, I got it. So when I think about life, which I have been lately, obviously, I always go back to a challenging passage, one of the first Zen teachings I happened upon before I was ever part of the Zen Mountain Sangha. And I was just kind of doing some reading on my own, but it was Dogen's Genjo Kon. And there was this one paragraph that I don't pretend to totally understand, but it has always been with me. And I think there's great truth in it. He wrote, firewood becomes ash, and it does not become firewood again. Yet, do not suppose that the ash is after and the firewood before. You should understand that firewood abides in the phenomenal expression of firewood, which fully includes before and after, and is independent of before and after. Ash abides in the phenomenal expression of ash, which fully includes before and after. Just as firewood does not become firewood again after it is ash, you do not return to birth after death. Birth is an expression complete this moment. Death is an expression complete this moment. They are like winter and spring. You do not call winter the beginning of spring, nor summer the end of spring. You know, there's Teresa's life, there's Lori's, there's Ken, there's Lou, there's mine, there's all of us. All of us are somehow ash. Some of us are all somehow firewood. We are firewood and ash. Birth and death are expressions just complete in this moment. I remind myself consistently or constantly of the truth that it's important that I do not call winter the beginning of spring, nor summer the end of spring. You know, I have great belief. I have great respect for other people's beliefs. However, I really don't have much tolerance for beliefs that defy the reality. One can certainly believe, for example, in a creation story as a myth, but I don't have much patience for a Christian who believes the universe is 6,000 years old. I don't belittle them, but there's not much respect. I really think life and what you think and what you believe has to be based on what truly is. It's what led me to Zen. It's what's brought me back to Zen when I wandered. Steve Hagen wrote, and it reflects what I've really come to know for me. He wrote, it's called enlightenment. It's nothing more or less than seeing things as they are, rather than as we wish or believe them to be. It's called enlightenment. It's nothing more or less than seeing things as they are, rather than as we wish or believe them to be. But I would repeat, dear Isa, and say, and yet, and yet.